One will be in chapter 14 of Romans. This is a very enlightening chapter. Paul gets into some very deep thought process. He gives you some ideas to think about. This book should challenge you tremendously to be what you are. Okay? Just be what you are. Okay, chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that despises eateth despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received them. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not, but gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live or we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things, serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's some tongue twisters in there in my eyes. I don't know what I was doing today. I wasn't seeing just right, but my glasses aren't that dirty. Could have been. I don't know. Can I stick my tongue out and touch my nose? Yes, I can. Okay, back to the first verse. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Let me say it the way the language says it. The one that is weak in the faith, receive in kindness. Just because someone doesn't understand what we are doing, guess what? Are we supposed to beat them up? He said, receive them in kindness whenever they are weak in the faith. And see, that's not typical of a religious system. Our religious system of what we call Christianity in this world, in this country especially, is very intolerant. Do you realize that? They're intolerant of anybody that is not like them. If you don't look like me, talk like me, dress like me, act like me, then you are my enemy. And see, that's the same mentality the world has. That's why there's no war in Iraq right now, because we don't do the things the way they did things. See, who's in control of it? God, I'm not in control of anybody. I'm not trying to change anybody. I'm only trying to tell the truth. Simple as that. Okay? I will read you out of the Living Bible what it says here for this verse. Give a warm welcome to any brother who wants to join you, even though his faith is weak. Don't criticize him for having different ideas from yours about what is right and wrong. See? Now, does that mean you never speak anything contrary to what they say? See? Here's the point, just like we were talking about the deal with your brother, Lloyd. It's in the attitude. It's all in the attitude. See? It's what's in my heart. If I have peace in my heart, I can walk up to Bob and say, Bob, we don't agree, but that's okay. Right? We don't have to agree in everything. That don't mean we can't be friends. If I got to be like you to be your friend, then you really don't want a friend. You want somebody to be a clone off of you. God didn't make me like you, did he? He made us like him. And what the real secret of humanity is this. Every one of us put together is going to come back with the personality of God, because we're all pieces of God. And when it all comes back together, what are we going to have? See, there's the beauty of the whole thing. The diversity that we have is our strength. And the religious realm has said, if we don't all look alike, walk alike, talk alike, do the same things the same way, we're enemies, so separate from them. But the people who are different are our strength. See, if I'm a welder, okay, but I need carpentry work done, and I'm not a good carpenter, then I got to find somebody that's a good carpenter. And if somebody else is a good computer person, I got to find somebody to work on my computer. I can't do everything myself. I'm not interested in me learning everything to do in the world by myself so I can be self-sufficient from everybody else. I want you to do what you are qualified to do and assist me. And whatever I'm qualified to do, I will assist you. So we work together. We are dependent upon each other. See, that's called family. We learn to use the skills that God has given you, because everyone does have a skill of something. See? So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to all come together. In the language of this first verse, it says, the one that is weak in the faith, receiving kindness, not to doubtful disputations, or not to argue about opinions. And that's what happens when we do take people and argue with them, and that's what most people get into. They get in arguing about the scriptures. I don't really care to argue about them. You can use the word argue if you want to. Paul argued the scriptures, it says in Acts 20, verse 7. He argued all night long with those hard-headed Jews. Well, I've done the same thing at times past. But, you know, arguing really doesn't get you anywhere, because if you're in an argumentative mood, you both got your defenses up, and neither one of you is going to hear what the other ones are saying. True or false? See, if you want to discuss something, I'll sit and discuss it all night, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and right on through until we get to where we need to go. I'm not afraid to put myself into it, and if you've got something to teach me, then show it to me. But don't come and try to shove it down my neck, because it won't work. I'm no different than anybody else. When you try to force something down my neck, you know, I'm going to clamp it off, and you're not going to hear it. It's not going to get down there. You've got to do it in love. If you're not doing it in sincere love, then it's not going to get in. But I can talk to people and tell them things that normally would offend someone, but if you do it with the right spirit about it, then it won't be a problem. Now, if you go to someone and say, look, I got something to tell you, and I'll use Bob as an example. He's close again. He's easy target. Okay. Say, Bob, I got something to tell you. Now, hear my heart. Now, I'm really not getting mad at you. I'm not really... What am I telling him? I've already got something in my heart that I'm offended about, but I'm trying to cover it up with jargon that religion has taught me. Right? See, if I got to tell you I'm not offended, then guess what? I'm trying to cover up myself to make myself look good when I come to you and act religious. Isn't that right? See, when I come to Bob and say, hey, Bob, let's talk. That's enough, isn't it? If we're friends, isn't that what it should be? We should be just able to say what we got to say and go on with it, even in the differences. But don't argue with anybody. Proverbs says it this way, a brother offended is harder to be won than a castle or a city with iron bars. How hard is to get into that castle with it's got big iron bars around it? Pretty tough. So the best way is not to offend anybody, but to try to speak peaceably. Okay? Part of the lesson of growing. Verse 2, truly one believes that he may eat all things, and another, the one that is weak, eats vegetables. See? That's what the language says, eats vegetables, not herbs, but eats vegetables. So one's a vegetarian and one eats anything he wants to. What's wrong with either one of them? Nothing. You can eat what you want to eat, but truly all things are clean according to the scriptures, aren't they? Right? So guess what? Just go ahead and do what you got to do. Let not the one that eats despise the one that eats not. So the one that eats shouldn't be looking down at the guy that's eating just vegetables and say, hey, I can eat anything you want, you're crazy. See, that's that superior attitude, I'm better than you, right? Guess what? It's not right. And it's not right for the other one, as it goes on to say. And not the one which eats not judge or condemn the one that eats. Why? Because God receives them all. You know why God received them all? It had nothing to do with what was on their plate. The reason that God received them all was because his son died on a tree. He shed his blood and was resurrected for all. That's why he received them all. Okay? Who art thou that judges another man's servant? Now, you might say, well, you're not a slave. You're not serving anybody. Hello, I am. The book says, doulos, we're servants. That's what the scripture says, King James says, we're servants. The book says, doulos, which is slave. I'm a slave unto my father. Not because he's forced me into slavery, but it's a voluntary slavery. Okay, I fell in love with him. I can't help that. I got to do what he says, and I don't have a choice in it, see? That's slavery. But I've chose to be in this slavery. I want to be there. I don't want to leave it. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. See? Are you going to condemn me to my father and cause me to fall? Nobody's accusations against me can make me fall in God's eyes. True or false? You cannot be condemned in God's eyes by my word or anybody else's word. True or false? See, you've got to stand yourself and know that God has accepted you because God created you from the very beginning. Why would he want to condemn you? Do you think God's going to take the witness of another human being over his own? Does God know everything? Well, then why would he need a person to come along and condemn me before he could judge me as guilty or innocent? He doesn't need anybody. He already sees the whole world as innocent. Why? Because of that trip up a hill to be nailed to a tree. And now when he sees everyone, he knows that they are not guilty because he paid the price that had to be paid. Okay? There's the key. He took care of the whole thing himself. The rest of verse 4 says, yea, he shall stand. Does that say maybe? He's saying, yes, he will stand because God is able to make him stand. Who is the him? Humanity. Whether it's weak or strong, makes no difference. You go on to verse 5, it says, who truly, not one man, should say, hos men, should one, it says, who truly esteems or judges one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded where? In his own mind. See, I got to know in my mind where I'm at, who I am. If I don't know my identity, am I going to be able to lay claim to the promises that God gives me? I can say words, but if I don't believe it in my heart, I can say, oh, that's me. I'm a child of God. I'm claiming the promises. But if I don't really believe that, Are you ever going to see the fruit on that tree? You'll never see the fruit on the tree. See, so it's not a name and claim it. It's an identity. It's a revealing in your heart. You have to know what God has said about you and what you have. You can't believe what someone said he said. See, it can't be a third party's response. It's got to be you and him having communication internally. If you do that, what have you got to fear? If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. See? Who cares who's against you if God's for you? Verse 5. Oh, we did that, didn't we? Okay. Verse 6. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day, he regards it unto the Lord. He that eats, eats to the Lord, because he gives God thanks. Or literally, the language says, he says grace at his meal. And the one that eats not to the Lord, eats the Lord he eats not, but still he gives thanks unto God. Okay? Because none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. What does that say to you? If no man lives to himself, what's that saying? Nobody is apart from the rest of humanity, are they? We can say, I'm an individual, I can do anything I want to, I'm not affecting anybody else, but I don't believe that for 1 minute, and neither does the Scriptures. The Scriptures does not verify the fact that you are an individual on your own, can do anything you want to do. Anything you do affects humanity in some form. In some form, something I do will affect somebody else in humanity. Okay? Because I'm looking at something here. Because none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. That's a kicker right there, isn't it? No man even dies to himself. So I can't even die isolated, can I? There's people over in that war dying right now. No one knows that they're dying in the world, do they? There's somebody somewhere that does. There's somebody. Somebody's family member, because everybody comes from another family somewhere, don't they? If someone's always affected by it, whether we believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. It's still the truth. Huh? It's part of the bunch. Okay? Verse 8, because if both we live unto the Lord, and if both die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we believe or we don't believe, whether we're strong or whether we're weak, right? Whether we live, therefore, or die, what? Well, then who says this one's going that place and that one's going that place? See? Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, talking about when we die, it said the dust returns to the dust and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So everybody, when you pass through, where do you go? You go back to God. So what's the big deal? See, he already took care of everything. In the New Covenant, he did it all, didn't he? Okay, if you don't believe that, that's why you are still struggling and trying to work your way into the kingdom of God. Jesus always referred to the kingdom in one tense. It wasn't futuristic, and it wasn't historically. It wasn't a past tense. Then what tense would it be, Bob? Present. The kingdom of God is. See, it just is. You can't build something that already is. The kingdom of God has already came to the earth. I'm not waiting for the kingdom of God to show up. Jesus said in John, Luke 17:20, the kingdom of God is within you. See? And the word kingdom is the Greek word basileia. It means the rule or the realm of God. Hello, where's God live? Well, okay, where's he ruling and reigning? Well, there's your kingdom of God. See, it's within us. And until this kingdom is straightened out in me, it'll never change anybody else. We got to quit looking at everybody else and say, they're not right, they're not right. And I look at myself and all I see is a bunch of sores and scars and tattered and dirt. See? Until I see myself as the same way God says I am. Now, I'm not telling you look at the external flesh. I'm telling you, look at your heart. And the book says we're holy, we're righteous, we're not guilty, we're unblameable, we're irreprovable, sons of God. Now, do I believe that or not? See, I believe that. Whether anybody else does, I don't know. I know I believe what God has said. That doesn't give me a justification, doesn't give me a license to go do anything I want to do. All it gives me is an understanding that God has paid the price. It makes me appreciate what he did on the hill called Golgotha. See, the hill called the skull. That's what that word means, the place of the skull. So see, he done his work. Where did he do it? In the skull. See, he took the carnal mind to the cross. That's what he did. He took care of all that thinking. So it doesn't make any difference what that thing thinks. God has overrode it. It's alive now. Okay? But we're all the Lord's, right? Verse 9. Because to this end Christ both died and rose and lived. Says revived or lived. In order that he might be both Lord both of the dead and the living. So if I take the dead and the living, let me see. I'm going to get a pen and I'm going to add this up. Dead and living. Now when we say dead, how many is that? And living, how many is that? So what would be the total? Huh. Well, part of them's dead and part of them's living, but you put them all together and what do you got? All plus all equals all. So who's he the God of? All. Hmm. All. You're part of all, right? You're part of the all. But why do you judge your brother? Uh-oh, you're getting personal now. That's where people sitting out in the audience start saying, oh, the preacher's starting to get personal now. Why do you judge your brother? Well, which one of us has not been guilty of judging another brother? Huh? We all are guilty of it at some time. But it should cease. See, this doesn't come to condemn you. God doesn't come along and have Paul write, why do you judge your brother? Once you hear that truth, and you cease judging your brother, that should have no effect to you. No condemnation, no guilt. It's a revelation. I ain't doing that no more. That's all. I ain't doing that no more. But now there's another brother coming down the road who has never read this before or understood it. To him, he has to come to a place and sees that judging his brother is wrong. True or false? Okay, so he comes to a place where he does it. And then after that point, it no longer has effect to him. Once the word becomes in you, you don't have to worry about it anymore. How can it hurt you? See, I have no fearful expectation of God doing something to hurt me. Everything that God reveals to me is to make me more like him in my understanding. See, that's all it is. He's trying to show me who I really am, who my true identity is, and it's been hidden in this mass of clay for 54 years. But God is shucking away this piece of clay so I can see what's really there. And it's not who everybody thinks I am, but it's the Christ. I don't care. I know. And see, when you have this personal experience of God shucking away everything except what's left, and that's him, is the only thing that's going to stand, do you think anybody else is going to like what they see? They liked him so well in the first century, they hung him on a cross. Do you think when they see him today, they're going to be that happy? If Jesus the man was to show up in the church today, most of them would jump out the doors. They'd make new doors. The churches look like screen, the walls would look like screen doors, the holes of people going through the walls trying to get away from him. They don't know who God is. They don't know, have any idea how loving and compassionate he is. They made him into some kind of sadistic monster that wants to torture 90% of his children, or 99% of them. That's not my father. That's their daddy. Okay? Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? Because we shall, how many? All stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's the pattern. Was he not despised? Well, know this. You'll be despised when you walk in truth. Who will despise you? The ones who say they have the truth. The ones that are afraid, that are full of fear of knowing the truth. Because when the truth comes, let me share something with you. You don't exist anymore. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. When I become one with the Father, it's not my identity any longer, is it? The I don't exist there anymore, does it? It's just Him. And that's what people's afraid of. They're afraid of losing control. That whether it's in their family lives, whether it's in their church lives, whether it's in their jobs, wherever it is, they're afraid of losing control. If I never had control, why would I have to worry about it? See, first of all, you never had control. You only thought you did. See, when your thought process becomes complete and you can make a rational decision about understanding about what you've been thinking about, then it's complete, right? As long as you're still thinking, you don't know for sure, do you? But when you make this conclusion, now you've got a decision. You can say, this is what it is. Because now I have went through all the process. My thinking process is complete now. Now I know. It's no longer thinking, is it? Now it's I know. And what did Solomon say at the end of Ecclesiastes? Let's hear a conclusion of the whole matter. Okay, enough is enough of thinking. I have saying things and I've been thinking things. Now let me tell you what the whole thing comes down. Let's boil it down to this. Let's get where the rubber meets the road, okay? Love God and keep His commandments. There it is. That's the whole duty of man. Well, where'd all these hundreds and hundreds of laws and rules and regulations come from? See? That's not God. That's man. And if we want to fall for that stuff, go ahead and fall for it. It's not going to do you any good. The wisest man in the world said, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Just love God and keep His commandments. And if you do that, how can you be wrong? Because if you follow the first two that Jesus spoke of, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself, you'll never have another problem, will you? Because who's your neighbor? Everybody. If you love somebody, you can't hurt them. Okay? Sure, go ahead.
Why do we have this nature in us to criticize past judgment and despise ourselves?
Why do we have it in there? Because God put it in there, and He built us, and that's what the nature of humanity really has in the dirt form, okay, in the natural man. In the spiritual man, that's not existent. And there's a mixture of that. And we'll have to go into a big, long discussion I'd rather not get into to get really into the meat of it back in Genesis to show that, okay? And I will share it with you. If you don't mind, I'll share it with you as soon as we get through. Because if I go back into it now, it'll take me clear off the course of what I'm going, okay? But I will answer the question for you, okay? Where am I at? 11. Because it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall what? That's not a good word. If you look at the language, it's not confess. Confessing is like you own up to something. Okay, I'm guilty. Okay, that's the intent of that word. But this word here says fully agree. See? Because it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall fully agree with God. Not to God, with God. I'm going to agree with God, huh? Well, if agree, it says it fully agree with God, whatever God says, amen. You'll have the same thing, the mind of Christ. Basically, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? It's just the mind of Christ. Huh? Of course. There's nothing else. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give what? The word account's not a good word there again. It's the word logos. It's word. So we're all going to give account concerning himself, not of, but concerning himself to God. So we're going to give words concerning myself to God. Now, what word am I going to give God? Most Christian people that go before God right now and say, "Oh, I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, Lord." Is that what he wants to hear? He's been telling you, you're holy, you're righteous, you're unblameable, you're not guilty, you're inexcusable, you're not accountable. You're sons of God. What are you going to tell him? You're going to stand there and say, "I'm your son," and not be bashful about doing it. You just tell him, "I'm your son. You're my father." Okay? "Let us no longer, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a, not a stumbling block, but an occasion of apostasy." When he says stumbling block, he says, let's not give anybody an excuse to go back. Don't you in your lifestyle give anybody an excuse. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't let me say, and I'm talking about all of us in general, don't let you as an individual say, "I can do what I want, it's none of their business." If I can cause somebody to stumble and fall, who does it lay upon? It lays upon me if I know it. Now, if I don't know what's going on, there's nothing I can do about it. Somebody at a distance says something. But if somebody gets close to me, just like, we'll say, like drinking. In our society, if you drink, you're going to go to hell, according to the church world. There's nothing in the book that says that. But here, if I know that if I drink, and I don't drink, for anybody that wants to know it, I don't drink, I just don't enjoy it. But if I drank something, and someone saw me in the community, or someone who knows that I am a minister of God, what would I just be doing to my reputation as a minister? I would be destroyed because of their opinion. Not a truth, but an opinion, see? And I would be giving them an opinion of, well, if he ain't right, what do I have to do? Why am I accountable? If he can do that, why can't I do what I do? See, all kinds of excuses. So what I did, I didn't cause a stumbling block. I gave them a reason to fall back in apostasy, to not care anymore. Well, if the man who stands up and says, or woman that stands up and says, "I'm a man of God," does all these crazy things, then what am I supposed to be held to? See? That's why I say character is the most important thing that I can possess. If I am going to be the man of God, I'm going to be the man of God. I'm not going to play games, "Well, I can do this or I can do that." Straight up, I'm going to be the man of God. That's the same with you. You're going to be the man or woman of God. I'm not playing a game. I am serious about this thing. I'm no longer caring what somebody thinks about me. I know what my Father thinks about me. I am going to be what my Father said be. I will cause no occasion. That's why Paul said, if eating meat would offend my brother, I will no longer eat meat. Do you think it's really talking about eating food? Well, to some people in that time it was, because it was stuff sacrificed to idols, and it's just meat. He knows that. He said, "I won't eat that stuff if that's what's going to offend them. I'll eat something else." The same thing with drinking or smoking or drugs or anything else you do. If it's something that can cause someone else to stumble, then I can't do it. See? Not because it's wrong, but because it would cause someone that's weak to stumble. That's exactly what he's talking about, the weak one. See, just because we're stronger and we have a greater understanding does not give us the right to destroy someone who's weak. That's what he's trying to show us. See, it's not about myself, it's about not the I, but the we. Absolutely. The weak ones look for the external thing. So we can't condemn them, we can't get in the way, we can't cause those people to stumble and fall. See? We've got to watch and realize that if we are men and women of God, we stand, and you don't realize how many people look at you. And I mean, they look at you with a scrutinizing eye. They're looking for a fault. They're not looking for the 99 times out of 100 that you do something right. They're looking for the one time you made something wrong so they can slam dunk you. But you know what that makes me do? That just makes me strive that much harder to make sure that I don't give them an excuse. Because now when they slam me, they got to make up a bold-faced lie. Go for it if that's what they don't want to do. I don't care. Tell all the lies you want to, huh? And they will make up the lies. Jesus said they'll say all manner of evil about you and lie about you. You're blessed. Great's your reward. Go for it. Thank you for blessing me. See? That drives them crazy when you tell them that. It's okay. Verse 14. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Now, the word persuaded here literally means to be convinced by words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am convinced by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that nothing is unclean of itself. He said, hey, nothing's unclean. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. What's the book say? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If I think eating an apple is bad, I'm not going to eat an apple. See? Does that mean the apple's bad? No. That's what you think. And what he's telling you is here. You're supposed to live by the convictions of your heart. Right? He said, if you think it's bad, you're going to condemn yourself. So you're going to try to make it right. And usually the only problem with anybody is it's a lack of understanding. It's an ignorance to the truth. If they had the truth, they would be doing the truth. Most of them don't have the truth. Verse 15. Because if your brother be grieved through your food, you no longer walk according to love. Okay. If what I'm doing, whether it's eating or whatever I'm doing, if it's offending somebody because of what I'm doing, some physical thing, guess what? I'm not walking in love. I don't care how much I enjoy doing a certain thing. I enjoy fishing. So if I go fishing a whole lot, if that's offending somebody, guess what? Hang up the fishing rod. If that's offending somebody. Spiritually, I'm saying. If somebody spiritually is weaker than me, say, you shouldn't be killing them fish. Well, I can beat that in Scripture, but what's the point? Jesus eat fish, didn't he? See? So how do you think he got that fish baked and on the shore and baked if it didn't get killed? Huh? See, so it's a food provided for us, and I'm not concerned with all those silly things, but I'm just saying if I do anything to hurt somebody or to cause them to fall, I don't want to be one that's walking not according to love. Okay? Doesn't mean that I have to be a doormat and let everybody walk over me. That's not what I'm saying. But there's certain things that I know that I can do, and nobody can disavow it by Scripture. They can come up out of context, but never in context. He says, destroy not that one with your meat for whom Christ died. So my liberty of eating meat, when some people want to be vegetarian or weak in their faith, am I going to eat the meat and stick it in their face and say, I'm going to eat meat, da na 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 na. But see, people do things like that. They may not say that, na 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 na, but they're doing it in their heart. They're sticking it in their face and rubbing it in your face because I can do this, na ha ha. But they're not doing it outwardly, but inwardly they're doing it, and you can sense it. Same, it's the attitude of the heart. It's not about the external. Sure, it's an arrogance. It's that superior thinking that you're better than someone else. But he said, don't destroy the one with your food for whom Christ died. Don't do anything to hurt someone else just because you have a liberty to do it. Okay? Let not your good be evil spoken of. Verse 16, right? I want to show you something in the Living Bible. The Living Bible says it this way in verse 16. Don't do anything that will cause criticism against yourself, even though you knew that what you do is right. Don't do anything to bring criticism back against yourself, even though you know what you're doing is right. Why? We are the ambassadors of Christ, are we not? If I'm a representative of Christ and I give somebody a reason to slander me, they can justify slandering to me because of what I did, then what did I do with my witness to these people? It just went down the tubes, didn't it? It's gone. See, I can't give somebody a reason to slander me and then say, I'm a man of God. You're not allowed to say that. That's what most preachers say. But see, slander is not telling the truth. Slander is a malicious lie with the intent to hurt somebody. Okay? So if I am a thief and I go steal something and someone says, you know, Dave stole something and he's a preacher. Is that slander? That's truth. See, that would be truth. If I stole something and someone told on me, that would be truth, wouldn't it? But see, most preachers, and I was trained this way under a man, that you don't say nothing bad about the preacher no matter what. Hogwash. If he's a thief, you tell him he's a thief. If he's a liar, you tell him he's a liar. See, that's exposing, not with the intent to destroy, but to humble the man to change his ways. If he's never exposed, you think he'll ever change, bub? You know he'll never change. If you're not ever confronted anything, you're going to sit in your comfort zone until you die. You'll never change. Somebody's got to come by and kick you out of that grave. Somebody's going to roust you. And God, I thank God he's that way. Because I'd still be in my pit too if he hadn't come by and rousted me out by some of the people in my life. I thank God they all come in my life. Thank God some of them's passed on through too. Okay, where am I at? 17. Because the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See? The kingdom of God is not what you eat and drink. That's very clear, isn't it? But righteousness. You know what the root word of righteous is? Innocent. Innocence. If I'm righteous, guess what I am? I'm innocent. The kingdom is righteousness and innocence and peace and joy. Now this word joy, I like the truth of what the language says about it. Calm delight. See? Joy. Everybody in the church world thinks joy is woo! 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 You know, that's joy. That ain't joy. That's somebody's emotions running out and they can't control themselves. It says calm delight. You know, I can be happy and just be as calm as I want to be. I can face anything in the calm delight of the Lord. But when my emotions are running crazy and I'm running up and down the aisles and rolling in the floor and swinging off the chandeliers and kicking the windows out, do you really think that I'm hearing anything from God? See, my flesh is running so wild at that point, you don't hear anything God says. You might hear your flesh God, but you don't hear God, the Spirit, do you? See? That's not joy. It's calm delight. So that's why you don't hear me screaming and shouting and carrying on, because in calm delight, see, I know I can hear God. Elijah didn't hear God in the windstorm or the rain or the clouds or all that noise and confusion outside. But when he got inside that cave and became still, he heard the still small voice of God. God's not going to holler at you with a big trumpet or megaphone or something like that. He's going to talk to you inside. He's already there. Why does he have to yell at you? He can talk to you anytime he wants to. Okay? All we have to do is calm down so we can hear. See, that's the reason we don't hear God, because I know God talks all the time. The only reason we don't hear him is because we've got our communication cluttered up with all the other stuff in our mind that we can't hear what God's saying to us. We're focused on some other thing other than just God. And see, most people say, okay, I'm focusing on God right now. And they're looking right at him. I'm looking right at him. I'm looking right at the front of the church, so I know I'm focusing on God. And 15 minutes later, where's your mind? Well, how about 15 seconds? Okay. It could be 15 seconds, 15 minutes, 15 hours. Focus upon God means focus upon God. Did it say how long? Okay. The book says keep your eyes upon him. Well, did it say for how long? See, it means my focus should be on God throughout my life. He is my supply. You get somebody that's in love with somebody, and where's their focus at all the time? Tell me, Bob. There it is. See? If I'm truly in love with God, people say, I love God. Oh, hogwash, you love everything in the world. If you love God, your focus will be on God. True or false? I'm just exposing something here. We've got to watch what we say. If I love God, mean what you say. If you love something else, tell the truth. I like this stuff too. Just be honest, see? Don't worry about trying to shuck somebody. Just tell the truth. Now, I like to do this. I told you a while ago, I love to go fishing. I really do. But it's not the most important thing in my life. I'll get to do that when I get an opportunity to. So I got out to do it once last week, for instance, last year sometime. I haven't had the opportunity. Other things were more important. See, what God has for me to do is more important. When I can get all the things done God wants me to do, sometimes He gives me some time I can do something. And I'm thankful for any of those times that He lets me do it. And I'm not begrudging because it was a perfect day to go fishing and I got things to do. See? It's not important. The things that He wants me to do are more important than anything the world has to offer me. And then when I get done with all them things, He lets me rest and do the things that I would like to do. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. So we got to learn to be content with whatever lot. Okay. What? With whatever lot of men, learn to be content therewith. Yeah, it's there. Verse 18. Oh, the last of that, 17 too, it says, the King James says Holy Ghost, and it doesn't say Holy Ghost. The word ghost isn't there. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I don't like to use the word ghost. You'd be surprised the kids that are scared because they use the word ghost in churches. It's the Holy Spirit. God never called Himself a ghost. He called Himself Spirit. Because He says He is Spirit and He's truth. Verse 18 says, because the one that in these things serves Christ is acceptable and approved to God and approved of humanity. If I do the things He says, accepting everybody and receiving the things and taking everybody, esteeming everyone else superior to me and and realize that we're all brothers and sisters and not condemn them because of their weakness of the faith, He says that's what will make me acceptable to God and approved of humanity. Because they haven't got anything to say. They've got to lie about you if they say anything, don't they? Anything other than good they say about you has to be a lie if you live according to what He's told you here. Let us therefore pursue, not follow after, but pursue the things. And I like the word pursue rather than follow because that's what the language says. But more so than that, I like the intent of the word. If I'm following someone, it's kind of to me like, la-di-da-da-da, I'm just walking down the same path as everybody else. But when it says pursue, it seems much more aggressive to me, this word. See, I got something in mind. I'm going someplace. I got something. I'm pursuing after Him. See, so not just follow after, but let's pursue. Okay, much more aggressive word. The things, He said, let's pursue the things which make peace. Now, me being right, does that make peace? Hello? Me or you being right in a conversation, does that make peace? All that does is make war, isn't it? I'm right, you're wrong. That's superior mentality again. I'm better, I know more than you. It doesn't make any difference. We can discuss the right and wrong. Okay, if I'm wrong, I back up and say I'm wrong. But, you know, it doesn't make any difference. All it done is brought separation. He said pursue. That means aggressively go after something that brings peace, right? And things which one may edify or build up another person. So me being right is not going to make you a better person, is it, Bob? Damn, that don't make nobody better. What it does is make you alienated to me. See? So what I have to realize is this. The only thing that's interested, that I'm interested in, is following after something that'll bring peace in people's lives and to edify and build them up. Condemning you does not build you up. That's why He says there's no condemnation in Christ. See? He did not come to condemn. He didn't come to send everybody to hell like the church preaches. He came for one reason, to reconcile all humanity back into Himself. That's a wonderful picture. I can remember when I told a man one time down in Kentucky, a preacher, Church of Christ preacher, about reconciliation. He was stiff-legged, tight-lipped, and liked to just punch me out. But he couldn't refute the Scripture. And I showed it to him. He said, I don't understand it, and I don't even like it. He said, but I see what you're saying. And he went home and told his wife, I run into this old gray-haired man, and he told me that God's purpose was to reconcile all of humanity back to Himself. And you know what his wife did? She began to cry. He said, what are you crying for? She said, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life. He couldn't hear it, and she did. That's the way it goes. You know, that's just the way it is. Some do, some don't. It is the most beautiful thing in the world when you realize that God came to reconcile everyone back to himself, not to condemn. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Verse 20. Because food destroys not the work of God. Boy, there's a mouthful. And if church would hear that, they could sure set a lot of people free. What you eat does not destroy the work of God. There's people standing in the pulpit today preaching about you should be eating this and you shouldn't be eating that. He said all things are clean. Didn't he say in verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself? See? And they said, oh, you shouldn't drink Coca-Cola. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't eat this kind of food. He didn't say that, did he? Why are they putting that guilt on somebody? No eating. Yeah, I just eat fish on Friday. I eat fish any day I want to. I like it. Domination and control and manipulation. That's all it's about. Okay? Because meat or food destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are what? Or clean. All things are clean or pure. But it is evil for that man who eats through offense. If I think it's bad, then I better not eat it. It's evil to me. Why? Tell me why. Why is it evil to me? If I think that eating meat is bad, you know, pork or whatever, if I think it's terrible to eat that, and I eat some of it, why is it evil to me? More than that, because it condemns me. I let myself condemn myself. I let my mind condemn me. If I say drinking a beer is bad, and I drink a beer, and I get under condemnation, see, there's the bad thing. It's evil because I am letting that thing condemn me. The guilt in this thing, see, is horrendous. People walk around with such guilt on them for no reason whatsoever other than religion has told them things. There's not one place, there's not one passage in this book that says if you drink alcohol, you go to hell. It says you're not wise. It's not for sons. It says that. See? It doesn't say anything about sending you to hell. It doesn't even say anything about sending you to hell for anything. See, that's the kicker. You feel like hell because of the condemnation and the guilt that the religion has put on you. No. No. Because everything else, we have a song we used to sing in the church all the time. Everything grows dim in the light of Him. See? And everything else is not as important as Him and being just as He is. That's the most important thing in the world. And if anybody tries to take it away from me, and I've used the example for years, just like when Joseph was born back here, you give him that little pacifier, babies, they give babies pacifiers. And if you try to take it away from him, what happens? He starts squalling. It's the same thing with everybody else. God gives us all these things to pacify ourselves through life as we grow up. And if somebody comes along like the church and says, up, you quit that. Give me that. Jerk it away from you. First thing you're going to do is, wah! You're going to be squalling because somebody took it away. And in your heart, you wasn't ready to give it up. You leave that thing, that fooler, that pacifier in that baby's mouth until they spit it out. And you know what? They'll never pick it up again. You can't beat somebody in condemnation and guilt and expect them to stop anything in their heart. Because in their heart, they still want to do it. Now, you didn't change anything. You got external appearances. You never got to the heart, which is the only thing that counts. Right? That's all that matters. It's up to God and the individual to do with whatever they got to do with it. Oh, they'll kick it away. They don't want it no more as they grow. So the main thing you got to do is feed the baby, the Christ in each one of us as a baby, and let it grow. If we do that, they'll take care of themselves. That's a natural way to do it. Okay, where am I at? 20? All things are pure, but it's evil for the man who eats with offense or the one with guilt and condemnation. It is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor anything in which your brother stumbles or offended or is made weak. So he said, whatever you do, if it creates a problem with your brother, we're not talking about, well, I don't like you to do that. I don't like the way you part your hair. Well, I only got two of them anyway, so it doesn't make any difference, left or right. But what I'm saying is, how you personally do something is not important. If someone has something against you, or you're doing something to offend a weaker person that is scriptural, that you're doing something wrong, then I got a problem with it. It should be changed. But other than that, you know, your personal preferences, I think you should drive a Chrysler, not a Ford. There's people that's that stupid. Watchman Nee got into that, they call it neo-discipleship, where people couldn't even go to the store and buy something without coming and asking him. See? I knew a man one time who told people, don't buy any new vehicles because you need to bring money in the church because we're going to build another building. But in the same process, he went and bought two new vehicles. Don't work that way, see? First of all, he shouldn't be telling you what to do with your money anyway. God gave you that money. Guess whose it is? It's yours. It's up to you to make the decision what to do with it. Nobody else. The church isn't supposed to be telling you how to spend your money, are they? They ain't supposed to be telling you how to live your life. They're supposed to be telling you what God said, and you make up your mind what you're going to do. You and God work it out between the two of you. Didn't he say Christ was the mediator between God and man? So who should be directing you in your life? The Christ in you should be directing you what to do for the Father, not some preacher. What am I, 22? Do you have faith? Then keep it to yourself. Does that mean you never share it? No. What he's trying to say here is don't take your faith and beat somebody with it. I seen a woman the other day. I couldn't help this. She was in line in front of me, and she had this skirt down to her ankles, dragging on the ground almost. And of course, it was a blue jean skirt. And the hair was all fixed up just right. And when I walked out, she was parked in a no parking zone right in front of the door by the handicap at Walmart's. And on her tag, it said apostolic. Now, her license plate actually said apostolic. She was so proud of being an apostolic person, but she went out there and parked in a parking zone where, not the handicap, but a no parking zone where it blocked the handicap. Now, what did she just do? Sure she did. I mean, she's out there with this big thing saying, I'm an apostolic lady, the way I dress, and my van's got apostolic right on the license plate, and then she went out there and violated the law. She parked where she wasn't allowed to park, blocking a handicapped person. Now, what kind of a witness does that have for anybody? Right? She thinks because she's apostolic, she's above everything else.
She already mentally had a cap, but she had it right.
I won't expound that one any farther. But if you have your faith, keep it to yourself, okay? Have it to yourself and God, okay? Happy. This word happy is supremely blessed. You're supremely blessed is the one that condemns not himself in the thing which he approves. See, what I approve for myself, when I'm not condemned, I am supremely blessed. You know, when I live my life, I've said this before, there's nothing in this world that will condemn me. Nothing will condemn me because I know the truth. There's no condemnation in God. See? No condemnation. So even if I make a mistake, I don't get condemned. If I do something terribly wrong, which I haven't done, but if I did something terribly wrong, I'm not condemned because it's not me that does it, but it's that flesh nature inside of me that did it. This natural thinking that wasn't all gone yet. It's not me. I'm a son of God. This flesh stuff is capable of doing anything. That's not a justification. I can say, boy, I blew that and messed that up big time, but I'm not in condemnation, and I can lay down and sleep tonight, and I'm not worried about somebody throwing me in a fire pit either. I know that my Father loves me, and He's correcting me. Correction is something that takes time. You don't get corrected instantly, do you? It's something you learn. It's a learning process. And Father is teaching us different things through His process of correction, and we'll never learn until we make the mistakes. So don't try to take away the mistakes from somebody else in their learning process. If you've learned through mistakes, then get out of the way and let somebody else learn through their mistakes. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's exactly what he said here. Don't judge the ones weak in faith. Get out of the way. Let them do. Now you can say, you know, there is a better way. And I can show you that if you'll listen to what God says, it'll be easier on you. Because Jesus said, follow me. That'd be an easier way than going our own way and having to come back around the mountain again. Right? See, if we follow him, there is an easier way. Why did Paul say, mark them that follow Christ and follow them? Because it's an easier way. They've already walked through a lot of this hell, and you can get an easier course. You'll still get there. Either way, you're going to get there. But why beat yourself to death? Why not take an easier path? It's going to be tough either way you go, but it's going to be tougher going the way we choose in our own mind versus the way that God says it. Okay? It's that simple. Where am I at again? Oh, 22. No, I finished 22, didn't I? 23. And he that doubts is not damned, but he's judged if he eats. If I doubt that's right, I'm already condemning myself in my mind. Right? Because he eats not from faith. But all the ones that is not of faith, or whatsoever, that all that is not of faith. Everything that I do that's not of faith, what is it? It's missing the mark. See? The word sin is the English word for it, but the language says missing the mark, harmatia. Missing the mark. So if I don't do it from faith, what did I do? I missed the mark. I'm an archer sitting here shooting at a target at the back of the room, and am I trying to miss the target or am I trying to hit the target? And I missed it. Boy, that's terrible. I tried, but I missed. Okay, cut my arms off and something because I missed the mark. I tried. Poke you in the eyes. Rip your eyes out because you did something, you didn't get it done right. See? There's that perfection thing that we've been dealing with. See? If I don't do it perfect, then God doesn't accept me. If God wanted you perfect, you'd have been perfect and there'd never been ever anything ever thought in your mind out of the way, wouldn't it? God put you here for a reason. Bob, that question will get back answered, and I'll answer it in a minute. Okay? Anyone got anything to say? Okay.